Okay, imagine this. You show up at a crime scene, right? And there is a fingerprint, but it's smudged,
Okay.
like maybe overlapping with another one. Too distorted to like run it and get an ID back.
Right.
But what if I told you that scientists might still be able to tell you something about it?
Oh,
Like something as basic as whether it belonged to a man or a woman?
that sounds kind of like science fiction,
Yeah.
but it's actually becoming a reality thanks to this super interesting research by Primo Jitkulichava and Shepard.
And they use some pretty wild equipment for this too, huh?
Yeah, they did.
Like what?
They use a technique called gas chromatography mass spectrometry,
Okay.
which is often shortened to GCMS.
GCMS.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty intimidating.
It's a mouthful for sure,
Yeah.
but it's not as complicated as it sounds.
Okay.
You can think of GCMS like a super-powered microscope
Okay.
that can separate and identify the tiny chemicals within a fingerprint.
So it's like taking inventory of
Exactly.
all the different chemicals.
A detailed chemical inventory. Yeah.
Got it.
So instead of looking at the ridges and the patterns,
Right.
they're looking at the chemical makeup of the fingerprint itself.
Wow.
And that's what makes this research so groundbreaking.
Okay.
Because every time we touch something, we leave behind more than just that pattern, right?
Right.
Like we leave a chemical signature too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this chemical signature for a second.
Sure.
What exactly are we talking about here?
Well, you know how sometimes your fingers feel a little oily? Oily, yeah, or sweaty.
Yeah,
Especially
definitely.
if you've been eating like a bag of chips or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's because our skin has these glands, right?
Right.
Eccrine glands produce sweat,
Okay.
and sebaceous glands produce oil.
Oh, okay. So it's basically like we're leaving behind little drops of sweat and oil everywhere.
Essentially, yeah. And those secretions contain this whole cocktail of chemicals,
Okay.
water, amino acids, fatty acids, waxes, all kinds of things.
Like our own personal lotion, but way less glamorous.
Pretty much, yeah.
And of course, there's going to be other stuff in there too, right? Like from the environment,
Yeah,
everything
absolutely.
we touch.
Yeah, so you got food, cosmetics, pollutants, all that.
So it's a pretty complex mixture then.
It is
Okay.
very
And is
complex.
that where the GCMS comes in?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what helps the researchers tease apart all those different components and figure out what they are.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So back to the study.
Okay.
How did they actually test this whole idea of identifying someone's sex from their fingerprint?
Okay, well, they started by recruiting 44 participants,
Okay.
22 men and 22 women,
Okay.
all over the age of 20.
So trying to control for hormones, I'm guessing,
Yeah, exactly, because, you know,
during puberty and everything?
exactly. Hormones can really affect our body chemistry.
For sure.
So to establish kind of a baseline, they had everyone wash their hands, they rub their fingertips together, and then they transferred their fingerprints onto microscope slides.
Oh,
So they
wow.
wanted a good, clean sample.
Yeah, super fresh to minimize contamination.
Exactly.
Wow.
And then they used that GCMS to analyze each fingerprint
Okay.
to see what they were made of chemically.
And what they find when they looked at the results?
Well, initially they detected over 132 compounds.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot.
It is a lot. So they removed low abundance compounds, contaminants, and anything they couldn't identify. And they were left with
Okay.
44 compounds.
Still a lot.
Still a ton.
Yeah, did any of them stand out as being different between the men and women?
Well, the majority of the compounds were pretty much the same
Okay.
for both men and women.
Uh-huh.
But there were two compounds that really raised a flag.
2 out of 44.
Yeah, 2 out of 44.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay, so one was octadecanol, also known as C18,
Okay.
which is a fatty alcohol.
D18, got it.
Yeah, and the other one was eicosanol, or C20,
Okay.
also a fatty alcohol.
Another fatty alcohol.
And these two
Another one.
were more abundant on average in the fingerprints from the women.
So just by looking at the levels of these two alcohols, could they like start to get an idea of if a fingerprint belonged to a man or a woman?
Exactly.
Wow.
So it's not a foolproof method,
Right.
but it's a really interesting starting point.
Yeah, and it's like having an extra clue at a crime scene, especially if the fingerprint itself is unusable for like traditional analysis. Like
Exactly.
imagine, you know, being able to narrow down suspects just by knowing the sex of the person who left the print.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty powerful.
It is.
That's the power of these chemical clues.
Exactly. And it opens up all these new possibilities for forensic science.
This is so fascinating. I want to hear more. Like, what other kinds of things might be lurking in those fingerprints?
Well, remember how I said they found over 132 compounds
Oh,
initially?
so before they narrowed it down.
Yeah. So those additional compounds, they could hold so much information.
Yeah, okay.
Like, we're just scratching the surface here.
Like, what kind of information?
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Our bodies are constantly producing and processing chemicals.
Right.
Many of which end up on our skin.
Yeah.
So could our fingerprints reveal things about us?
Like what?
Like our age, our diet, maybe even certain health conditions.
Hey, hold on.
Yeah.
You're saying that, like, someday we might be able to tell what someone had for dinner
maybe.
Just from their fingerprints.
It's not impossible.
That's wild.
Yeah, I know.
That's some serious detective work.
It is. Our bodies are like these intricate chemical factories.
Right.
Constantly breaking down food, mm-hmm. producing hormones,
yeah.
responding to everything around us.
Right.
And all of that activity leaves a trace.
Uh-huh.
And those traces can end up in our fingerprint residue.
So, like, theoretically, a fingerprint is basically a snapshot
yeah.
of what's going on inside our bodies.
Precisely.
At that moment.
Yeah, it's like a tiny window into someone's personal history.
Wow, that's incredible.
It is.
But, I mean, there's got to be challenges with this, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, what are some of the biggest ones?
Well, one of the biggest ones is separating what we call the signal from the noise.
What does that mean?
Well, in a controlled lab setting, you can get a pretty clean fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
But in the real world, fingerprints are exposed to all sorts of contaminants.
Right.
Think about everything you touch during the day.
Yeah, like my face or food.
Right, exactly. Even just being outside, all of those things can leave behind traces of chemicals that can really mess with the analysis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do researchers even know which chemicals belong to the person?
Right.
And which ones are just, like, contaminants?
Well, that's where things get really tricky.
Okay.
It's kind of like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
Okay.
They have to develop methods to distinguish between the person's inherent chemical signature
right.
and all those external factors.
Wow. And how do they even go about doing that?
Well, one approach is to look for patterns.
Okay.
Certain compounds are more likely to be found in certain environments.
Great.
So, for example, if you work in a factory, your fingerprints might contain traces of industrial chemicals.
Right.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So by analyzing a huge database of fingerprints
okay.
from tons of people, different environments,
okay.
researchers can start to map out what normal contamination looks like.
Oh, interesting. So they'd compare a crime scene fingerprint to this database.
Exactly.
And look for anything unusual that doesn't match.
Yeah. Any chemicals that don't belong there?
Right.
You
right.
got it.
Yeah.
And the more data they have, the better the analysis will be.
Yeah. For sure. More data is always better.
Exactly. And that's actually where artificial intelligence comes in.
AI.
Yeah.
Okay.
Machine learning can sift through huge amounts of data.
Oh, okay.
Way faster than we can.
Right.
And they can identify patterns that we might just miss.
So they're basically training AI to be like super detectives.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's so cool.
They can spot those tiny clues.
Right.
That could solve a case.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But it makes you think, right?
Huh?
If we can get all this information from just a fingerprint,
yeah.
what are the implications for privacy and security?
You know, that's a really valid concern.
Right.
As with any new technology,
yeah.
we have to be very careful.
Yeah, of course.
To have open conversations about the ethical implications.
Absolutely. We can't just let that get away from us.
No. Definitely not.
But let's get back to the research for a sec.
Okay.
What are, like, some of the key next steps for this field?
Well, one of the biggest things is just standardizing how we collect and analyze these chemical fingerprints.
Because right now it's kind of like the Wild West out there.
It really is.
Everyone's doing their own thing.
Yeah. Everyone's got their own methods, their own techniques.
Right.
And that's a problem.
Okay.
So we need to establish clear guidelines.
Right.
And best practices.
So that everybody's on the same page.
Exactly. So that results from one lab can be compared to another.
Yeah. Okay. So standardization.
Yeah.
What else?
Another key area is getting more people involved in the studies.
Right.
We need bigger sample sizes.
Okay.
And more diversity.
More diversity. Yeah.
Like the participants.
Exactly. So we need to make sure that these techniques work for everyone.
For sure. Yeah.
Right. No matter your age, your ethnicity.
Right.
Your health background, all of that.
Because a fingerprint from, you know, like a 20-year-old athlete
right.
is going to be very different from a 70-year-old with a heart condition or something like that.
Exactly. And that actually leads to another exciting possibility.
What's that?
Personalized medicine.
Oh.
Our fingerprints could give us valuable insights into our individual health.
Okay.
And that could help doctors tailor treatments more effectively.
Wow. So instead of, you know, like a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right.
It could be like really tailored to that individual person.
Exactly, that's the goal.
Wow, I hadn't even thought about that.
It's pretty incredible, right?
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I imagine they also need to do a lot more research on how, like, those environmental factors, like
Right.
temperature, humidity, contaminants, all that stuff,
Yeah.
like how that affects fingerprints over time.
Absolutely. All of that can change the chemical composition
Yeah.
of a fingerprint.
Right.
And we need to understand how.
Of course.
So, yeah, it's a complex puzzle,
Yeah.
but the potential rewards are huge.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine being able to solve crimes that were previously unsolvable
Right.
or identify missing persons
Right.
just based on a single fingerprint.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing to think how far we've come with fingerprint analysis,
Yeah.
from those simple ridge patterns
Right.
to these complex chemical signatures.
Exactly.
It's
It
crazy.
really is.
It's a real testament to human ingenuity.
I agree.
Any final thoughts for our listeners before we wrap up?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway here is that we're living in a world of incredible scientific discovery. Like, things that seemed like science fiction just a few years ago are becoming reality.
Right.
And this research on chemical fingerprinting is a perfect example.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a reminder to stay curious, keep asking questions,
Yeah.
and to be prepared to be amazed.
Love it
Yeah.
by what science can reveal.
Exactly.
Well said.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing your expertise with us
Oh,
today.
it's been my pleasure.
Yeah, this has been a fascinating journey.
It has.
And to our listeners, we hope you enjoyed this deep dive into the world of chemical fingerprinting.
Yeah.
And remember, the next time you touch something, think about the incredible story that your fingerprints are telling.
Good point.
Until next time, stay curious.
Okay, so we've got these two alcohols, C18 and C20, that are giving us clues about a person's sex.
Right, but remember all those other compounds?
Oh, yeah, the ones they found initially.
Exactly, there are over 130 of them.
And those could tell us so much more.
Okay, like,
What if they could tell us about someone's lifestyle, their diet,
Okay.
or even health conditions?
Hold on, you're saying, like, someday
Yeah.
we might be able to tell what someone ate for dinner
It's possible.
just from their fingerprints.
Yeah, our bodies are constantly processing things,
Right.
breaking down food, making hormones,
Right.
all sorts of stuff.
Reacting to the environment.
Exactly. And all of that leaves a chemical trace.
And those traces end up on our fingertips. So
See?
it's like a snapshot in time.
Yeah, think of it like a tiny window into their personal history.
Wow, that's pretty
It
amazing.
is pretty mind-blowing.
It is.
But of course, it's not that simple.
Right, there's got to be challenges.
Oh, yeah, tons of them.
Like what?
Well, one of the biggest is separating the signal from the noise.
Okay, what does that even mean?
Okay, so in the lab, you can get a nice clean fingerprint sample.
Yeah.
But in real life,
Right, it's a mess.
it's messy, right? You touch your face, you eat food,
I'm always touching my face.
you're out in the environment.
Right.
All of that leaves a chemical trace.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
So how do we know which chemicals belong to the person and which ones are just contaminants?
Right,
It's a
exactly.
tough question.
Yeah.
Like finding a needle in a haystack,
Okay.
we need a way to filter out all that extra stuff
Right.
and find the person's unique chemical signature.
Okay, so how do we do that?
Well, one way is to look for patterns.
Okay.
We know certain compounds are more common in certain places.
Like what?
Okay, say you work in a factory. Your fingerprints might have traces of industrial chemicals.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So researchers can analyze a bunch of fingerprints
Right.
from different people,
Okay.
different jobs, different environments,
Right.
and they can start to build a database.
A database of like normal contamination?
Exactly.
Okay.
So then they can compare a crime scene fingerprint to that database and look for anything that stands out.
Like anything unusual.
Right, anything that doesn't belong.
Okay, and the more data they have,
Yeah, the more data, the better.
the more accurate it'll be. All
Exactly.
right, of
And
course.
that's where AI comes in.
Artificial intelligence
Yep.
to help sort through all the data.
Exactly. It can analyze way more data than a person ever could.
Right, and probably find patterns we would miss.
Totally, like a super detective.
That's incredible.
It is pretty cool.
But it kind of makes you think about the implications, right? Like privacy, security.
Big questions.
Yeah, like if we can get all this information from a fingerprint,
Yeah.
what does that mean for our privacy?
It's a valid concern for sure.
Yeah, like what if this technology got into the wrong hands?
Exactly.
It could be used to discriminate against people.
You're right. We need to be really careful about how this technology is used.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need safeguards, clear guidelines.
Definitely. We can't just let this get out of control.
No, it needs to be used responsibly.
Okay, so back to the research for a sec.
Okay.
What are some of the next steps for this field?
Well, for one, we need to figure out how to manage all this data.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's huge. We're talking about potentially thousands of compounds in each fingerprint.
That's insane.
It is a lot to process.
So what, are we going to need like bigger computers or something?
We're going to need AI for sure.
Right, to help analyze all that data.
Exactly. It can help us find those patterns.
Yeah, and make connections.
Yeah, like which compounds are linked to certain traits.
Right, like age or health condition.
Exactly.
Okay, so we need AI. What else?
Well, even with AI, we still need human experts.
Oh, of course.
To interpret the results.
Right.
Make sense of it all.
Right, so it's not just about the technology.
No, it's about the people too.
Right.
We need scientists who can think critically.
Yeah.
And connect the dots.
Right. I mean, it sounds like a pretty fascinating field to be in right now.
It is. There's so much potential for discovery.
Yeah. So much we don't know yet.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's zoom out for a second.
Okay.
Beyond forensic science.
Uh-huh.
What other applications are there for this technology?
Oh, the possibilities are endless.
Give me some examples.
Imagine using it in medicine.
Okay.
To diagnose diseases.
Oh, wow.
Monitor how patients are responding to treatment.
Just from their fingerprints.
Exactly.
That's incredible.
It's like having a personalized health report.
Right at your fingertips.
Exactly.
Wow.
Or think about security.
Okay.
Fingerprint analysis could be used for access control.
Oh, yeah.
Identity verification.
So instead of like those old fingerprint scanners.
Yeah, this would be way more accurate.
Right.
Way more secure.
It's like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Kinda, yeah.
But as we've been talking about,
right,
all this potential comes with a responsibility.
Absolutely.
To use it ethically.
We have to be very careful.
Right, we need to make sure it's used to help people,
huh,
not to hurt them or discriminate against them.
It's a powerful tool.
Yeah.
And it needs to be used for good.
Well said.
Thank you.
So, where do we go from here?
Well, there's still so much we need to figure out.
Like what? Well, yeah, it does feel like we're kind of on the edge of something big here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But like you said, there are still a lot of challenges ahead, right? Before this becomes, you know, commonplace.
Yeah, for sure.
Like what are some of the biggest hurdles?
Well, one of the biggest is just the sheer amount of data. I mean, we're talking about analyzing like hundreds, maybe even thousands of chemicals in a single fingerprint.
That's crazy.
It is.
So how are they going to manage all that information?
That's where AI comes in.
AI, right?
Yeah, machine learning.
Okay.
Those algorithms can handle huge amounts of data.
Right.
And they can find patterns that we would probably miss.
So they're basically like training AI to be fingerprint analysts.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
But even with AI, you're still going to need like human expertise.
Oh, absolutely.
To interpret the data.
Yeah, to make sense of it all.
So it's not just about the tech.
No, not at all.
It's about the people too.
For sure, we need scientists who can think critically.
Right.
Connect the dots.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
It's not just about crunching numbers.
Right, right. Okay, so let's step back for a second.
Okay.
Beyond forensics, right?
Yeah.
What other applications are there for this tech?
Oh, the possibilities are huge.
Okay, give me an example.
Okay, imagine using it in medicine.
Okay.
To diagnose diseases.
Oh, wow.
Or to see how a patient is responding to treatment.
Just from their fingerprint.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Like a personalized health report.
Yeah, right there.
Right at your fingertips.
I love it.
Or think about security.
Okay.
We could use fingerprint analysis for access control.
Yeah.
Identity verification.
Like a super secure fingerprint scanner.
Yeah, exactly. Way more accurate than what we have now.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
It is. It really is. It's like something out of a sci-fi movie.
I know. Right.
But like we were talking about earlier,
yeah,
all this potential comes with a responsibility.
Absolutely.
To use it ethically.
We have to be very mindful of that.
Right. We need to make sure it's used to help people.
For sure.
Not to, you know, discriminate against them.
It's a powerful tool.
Yeah.
And it needs to be used for good.
Well said. Well said. Any final thoughts for our listeners as we wrap up this deep dive?
You know, I think the most important takeaway here is that we're living in a time of incredible scientific advancements.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, things that seemed impossible just a few years ago are now becoming reality.
Right, right.
And this research, with the chemical fingerprinting.
Yeah.
It's a perfect example.
Absolutely.
It's a reminder to stay curious, you know, to keep asking questions.
And to be prepared to be amazed by what science can do.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah, it's been fascinating.
It has.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of chemical fingerprinting.
Thanks, everyone.
And remember, the next time you touch something, think about the incredible story that your fingerprints are telling.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
It is. Until next time, stay curious.